Psalm 85 and verse 10, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this week. And just as the farmer sows the seed and knows that it's not all over, that it's just begun. So we pray that the word of God that's been preached has seed that is sown, that you will bless each sermon, each hearer. Bless today, bless this message. And Father, may some unsaved individual hear and come to trust in Jesus Christ. Forgive us of our many sins. Bless each one of your children and each one of your churches on this Lord's Day. And we ask that you'd be with us. In the name of our Savior, we ask it. Amen. This is a beautiful statement. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. It has to do with harmony. Harmony restored. God is a God of harmony. We see harmony in nature. I was thinking God puts green on the grass, and green in the trees. I'm glad he didn't put orange. But nature displays harmony, music, which is a creation of God. We see harmony in music, art, architecture, all those things display the creation of God. Now, as we speak today about harmony, I wanted to warn you. I preached this sermon down in Florida not too long ago, and a young lady came up to me after the sermon, and she said, "I thought the preacher was going to get up and set you down." She thought what I was preaching was heresy. And what she had failed to understand, the Bible often speaks in an anthropomorphic manner. Anthropomorphism means to speak of God as though he were a man. And the Bible often speaks in that way because God has to step down and speak to us in that way so that we may understand. The Lord is infinitely above our ability to comprehend. So God speaks to us in an anthropomorphic way. He condescends to us, and we are to understand. We get these impressions, these comparisons, and we are to learn from them. Again, God is spoken of as though we were a man. Jesus Christ is referred to as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Holy Spirit is compared to a dove. These things teach us. I remember when I was in school, in the English class, the English teacher had us read a poem called Heaven's Hound. I remember by Francis Thomas Thompson, I believe. And it was a beautiful poem, giving this man's testimony as to how the Holy Spirit had worked and drawn him through the years. And one fellow that was more zealous than he was intelligent got up and said, "The Holy Spirit's not a hound." And so people sometimes misunderstand these ways in which God speaks to us. But I just wanted to add that word of explanation. Now, first of all, God's creation originally displayed harmony. As God created man, he placed him in the Garden of Eden and told him to take dominion. And there was great joy in that work. Men and angels. Angels were created to be ministering spirits, to be helpers for man. Man and his own inner being was created originally with inner peace. We have to believe that had sin not entered the world, that men and men of all types would have gotten along. Man of course, had a need for a help meet for him. God created Eve. John Milton describes the relationship between Adam and Eve and the way Adam saw Eve when he first saw her. He says, "Under his forming hands the creature grew, man-like but lovely fair, that what seemed fair in all the world now seemed in her contained, in her summed up." And there's no doubt that Adam thought Eve was the most beautiful creature that he had ever seen. We could describe it. The horse came by and Adam said, "My, what a beautiful animal. You could ride that." And the dog came by and Adam looked at it and said, "That'll be my best friend." And Eve came and he forgot all about the horse and the dog. The angels were created, the different levels of angels, and there was harmony between them. Harmony between God and angels, and harmony between God and man. In the cool of the day, God came down, said, "Adam, Adam, where art thou?" And it displays what a wonderful harmony must have been up until that point. But harmony was disturbed by the entrance of sin. Harmony between men and nature. After sin entered in, there were thorns on the roses. The work had to be done by the sweat of your brow. Even something like the birthing of children was accompanied by sorrow. And even marriage, which was intended to be a great blessing to man, I've often said that women have two great problems, men and children. But this was a result of sin. And then fear entered into the heart of man. We think of other ways in which harmony was lost. We think of men and angels. Satan, who was a created angel, he was jealous of the position that God gave man. Even though angels were greater than man in power and wisdom, yet God created the angels to be helpers of men, and men were to take the dominion. And this caused great jealousy in the mind of Satan. Man and his inner being was affected by sin. The philosophers say that man's mind is filled with angst and worry and fear. Men in their inner being, the Bible says, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up dirt and mire. There was a disharmony between men and other men. Cain killed his brother Abel. He didn't learn that from the TV. He didn't learn that from video games. He didn't learn that because he lived on the wrong side of town. But evil and sin came into the heart full grown. And a man killed his own brother, Tubal Cain, who was the father of those that worked in metal, made a sword or a spear. And his father, Lamech, used it and killed somebody. Men and spouses, what was intended to be a love nest, too often becomes a battleground. Angels and other angels. We read in the book of Daniel how that the holy angels and the fallen angels have a great conflict. Of course, Satan and the fallen angels oppose God. And then God and man are no longer at peace. But let me say something, and this may shock you as it shocked the young lady that thought I was preaching heresy. There is a disharmony more serious than all that I've mentioned, as serious as they are. And it's the one found and implied in Psalm 85, verse 10, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. These are attributes of God. And when it says mercy and truth are met together, it's implying that harmony has been restored, but that mercy and truth were in disharmony. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Once again, this is a bringing back harmony, but it implies that there was a disharmony. Now, once again, we're speaking, and the Bible is speaking anthropomorphically, speaking of God as though He were a man. In our hearts, as human beings, we often have disharmony. Sometimes we have this problem of we know what we should do, but we also know what we want to do. And so there was a conflict between the divine perfections, a contradiction of the attributes of Almighty God, a quandary, a cloud in the divine mind. Now, you say, Brother Ron, explain that. Well, let me give you two illustrations out of the Scripture. First of all, the prodigal son. You know the story of the prodigal son. There was a man that had two sons, and the younger son was a very selfish and shockingly irreverent to his father. And he comes to his father and he says, I'm tired of waiting for you to die. I want my inheritance now. And the father, I wouldn't have given it to him. But the father yielded to his unreasonable request and gave him his inheritance. Well, it wasn't very long until the prodigal son decided he wanted to live in a way that he would be embarrassed to live in front of the father. So he goes off to the far country. And thanks to the elder brother, we know what he was doing there. He spent his inheritance on harlots and high living. He ends up in the pig pen feeding pigs, a Jewish boy feeding swine. One day he wakes up and he said, how many of my father's servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And he said, I'll arise and go to my father's house. And he gets up and he's heading for the house of the father. And as he comes near, the father sees him way before he sees the father. And the father runs out to meet him and hugs him and puts a new robe and a ring on his finger and creates and makes a feast. The elder brother comes and he's says, what's going on? Somebody says, well, they're having a feast. Your younger brother has come back from the far country. And the elder brother is angry and he goes in and he says to the father, you never did this for me, and I've been working all these years, and this younger brat comes back from the far country where he spent your money on harlots and riotous living, and you do this. Now, we think of our text, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Mercy represents the Father. Mercy is God's grace and goodness to those that are in a state of misery. And the Father is merciful. He thinks of the Son. He knew it wouldn't work out well. Sin never does. Selfishness never does. But the Father desired to have mercy on the misery of the younger son and put a cloak on him and a ring and take him back, not just as a servant, but as a son. And so the father represents mercy. The elder brother represents truth. Now, we tend not to like the elder brother, but did he say anything that wasn't true? Didn't say a thing. Everything he said was just like it was. And so mercy and truth were separated. They were at odds with each other. We think of the woman taken in adultery. You know that story. How that she was caught in the very act. How the scribes and Pharisees dragged her before the Lord Jesus. And they said this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Moses said she should be stoned. What do you say? And of course, Christ was clever. He said, he that is without sin, let him first cast a stone. Well, it says the elders went out first and then the younger. The older fellows, they were smart enough to know that the Lord had shut them all up. It took the young fellows a while to figure that out. But the scribes and the Pharisees, they represented righteousness or justice. Was the woman committing adultery? Yes. Was she guilty? Yes. Did Moses say that the price of that was to be stoned? And the answer is yes. But our Lord Jesus, as we know, was able to bring righteousness and peace back together. And righteousness and peace kissed each other. In other words, God in this parable and in this history, God devised a way. Let me read a scripture out of the 2 Samuel 14 and verse 14. Here, David is being spoken to, and it says, "For we must needs die, and are as water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him." And so, by nature, we have been driven away from God. Mercy and truth are at odds. Righteousness and peace are no longer we're not able to see how those two things could go together. You say, Brother Ron, where'd you get this sermon? Well, it was suggested to me by something I read years ago. And I want to tell you what that is now so that you'll understand what I'm saying. In ancient England, there was a fellow that was referred to as the Venerable Bede. And he wrote a book called The Ecclesiastical History of England. He also was the first man to translate any of the Bible into English. And he translated the Gospel of John into English. Well, I was reading a book years ago of sermons, and there was a sermon by this fellow called the Venerable Bede. I guess he was distinguished and venerable in the eyes of the people. And the thing I noticed about the sermon by the Venerable Bede, it was very short. So I thought, well, I'll read it. Just take a minute to read this sermon. And here's his sermon. And if you understand this sermon, or actually it's just a parable that he makes from Psalm 85 and verse 10. If you understand this parable, this short sermon, you'll understand my sermon. Here's how it goes. There was a great king, the greatest of all kings. He had a son, the most wonderful of all sons. And he had a servant called Adam. He also had four daughters: mercy, truth, righteousness, and peace. Well, he decided to test his servant Adam, so he gave him a test. Adam failed miserably, and not only miserably did he fail, but he rebelled against the king and spoke out against the king. And the king determined to punish Adam and cast him into prison and was going to have him executed. Well, the first daughter came in and she said, "Father, I hear you're going to execute Adam." And she said, "Don't do that. My name is Mercy. And if you execute Adam, I can't be your daughter because my name is Mercy." And the second daughter, Truth, came in. She said, "Father, understand that Mercy, my sister, doesn't want you to execute Adam. But you must execute Adam. For if you don't, I can't be your daughter because my name is Truth. And the truth is, your laws must be carried out, and he is guilty and deserves punishment." Then the third daughter, named Righteousness, nicknamed Justice, she came in and she said, "Father, I understand that Mercy does not want you to execute Adam, but you must do that. If you don't, I can't be your daughter because sin has to be paid for. And crime has to suffer. And if you don't punish and execute Adam, I can't be your daughter." Well, the fourth daughter, named Peace, was so tired of the bickering that she left the country. But unknown to everybody, the great king had made an agreement with his father. Or the great king had made an agreement with his son. And the agreement was that if Adam failed, that the wonderful son would pay the price of his guilt and his sin. And that's what happened. The son paid the price that was owed by Adam, who had sinned so willfully against the king. And everybody was happy. Mercy was happy. Because Mercy was shown. Truth was happy because even though Mercy was shown, it was not done at the expense of Truth. But Truth was fully expressed. Righteousness was happy because even though Adam was forgiven, it was not done at the expense of righteousness or justice, but sin was paid for. And because everybody had quit arguing, peace came back home. Now, a good doctrinal statement that teaches the same thing is in Romans 3 in verse 24. Romans 3 in verse 24. Romans 3, beginning verse 24. "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness, that is God's righteousness, for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Now, you see that each of these are attributes of God. Mercy is an attribute of God. It's His desire to look down with favor and help to those that are in a state of misery. Truth is an attribute of God. And what does God know about man? Well, in Romans 3 it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable." It speaks of their throat. and their tongues, the foul language that's used. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. There's no fear of God before their eyes. And so you see mercy, that God loves mercy and God is a merciful God. But He can't show mercy at the expense of truth. Both must be upheld. Righteousness is something that there has to be. Sin must be paid for. But God is also a God of peace. And so we think of how mercy and peace are met together, mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And this is through our Lord Jesus Christ who restored harmony. Now, He restored harmony in many ways. He restored harmony once again between men and nature. We think of what we read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 11 and verse 6, talking about harmony being restored between men and nature. And the scripture says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." And so we see men and nature, the harmony restored, men and angels, man and his self. Jesus said concerning the inner spirit of man, "My peace I leave with you." Jesus Christ has restored harmony between men and men. It says, "They shall beat their swords into plowshares, neither shall they study war anymore." God has restored harmony between man and spouse. How many homes have been restored because of Jesus Christ and because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? Amen. Jesus Christ has restored harmony between God and man. But all of that is possible because harmony has been restored to the divine mind. Because the attributes of God are no longer in conflict. Mercy and truth are met together. God is able to show mercy, but not at the expense of truth. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Sin is paid for, and yet God is at peace with the sinner. Amen. Have you heard the gospel of God? Have you cried out to God for mercy? Have you seen and confessed that while you need mercy, that the truth about yourself is not very good? Have you seen the righteous judgment that you deserve? Have you found peace through Jesus Christ? The Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." God is shown to be a just and righteous God, but at the same time a merciful God, able to manifest both of those attributes because of Jesus Christ. Have you ever cried out to the Lord as the publican did when he said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner"? What a wonderful statement that is. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. If Jesus Christ had not come into the world, there would be no salvation. But God has devised a way whereby He may bring those back to Him that have fallen into sin and have been cast out. Amen. Are you trusting in God's way of salvation? Do you understand what I've been talking about today? Can you say, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand"? Can you say, "Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee"? Do you know what it means to hear that mercy and truth have met together, righteousness, and peace have kissed each other. That happened at the cross. May the Lord bless you.